this week on Capitalism, Race, and Democracy.
They are putting so much more money into militarization, into the warfare, and so on and so forth, into sending weapons to Ukraine. And at the same time, they don't have the money, that's what they say, to spend on education, to spend on schools, to spend on kindergarten, all these things.
Growing militarism and fascism in Germany threatens immigrants and all workers.
Getting back to T-Mobile, we just want them to stop union busting, plain and simple. Let workers decide for themselves whether or not they want to join a union. End his partnership with Elon Musk Starlink.
CWA President Claude Cummings Jr. sounds the alarm on Trump's Project 2025, the attack on T-Mobile workers, and rising fascist assaults on the media.
UAW Region 6 members are proud to stand with workers around the world who are taking action to stop this genocide.
Unions in the U.S. are joining the global struggle against the genocide in Gaza.
It was absolutely awful to be detained in a place where you never thought that such thing exists on U.S. soil, like the amount of injustice and dehumanization that such facilities actually hold.
Mahmoud Khalil speaks on ICE prison conditions and Trump's campaign to disappear him. From Pacifica Radio, this is Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, a collective effort by producers from Pacifica stations and affiliates across the U.S. I'm your host, Polina Vasilyev. Growing militarism and fascism in Germany threatens immigrants and all workers alike. Luisa von Freitag-Loringhoff of the National Union IG Metall, who works at a Chinese-owned auto battery plant in Germany, spoke to Pacifica's Steve Zeltzer about the fight against war and fascism.
Me and other union colleagues, we went to May Day, to the demonstration that the union is always organizing, and we had a banner that said, colleagues from this company, from union, we are against racism, fascism, and war. And then a few weeks later, I think 1 or 2 weeks later, I come to work and I get a written warning for this. And they put it in your personal file, in a data file, in the human resources department. And I also said, we didn't do anything wrong. Why should you punish employees if they spread a message like this? If they spread a message that they refuse fascism, that they refuse racism and war, why should you be against this?
This was a rank and file effort. Did the union support this?
The union also supported this, yes. And again, we also went to court from this, and this process is still ongoing. So in November, I will have the next hearing at court, and it's almost the same thing that my lawyer and pretty much everyone I talk to says, that we did not do anything wrong, because the company says we were not allowed to use the logo. But that's something completely normal that all the workers in all Germany do almost every day, and at least every May Day, that they write the logo of their company that they work with and their demands. And so that's maybe something specific also to certain companies. Elon Musk with Tesla, to be honest, is doing something similar in Germany. And certain Chinese companies are doing something like this, where they are trying to bring a certain style of ruling their company, where they don't want to grant these rights that we do have here. And that's why I feel challenged also, that we say we will defend these rights, we will use them, and only because they put a lot of pressure on us. They tell us, if you are not productive enough, effective enough, then your jobs will be gone or whatever. That doesn't mean that me and my colleagues should be exploited for somebody else's profit. When it comes to anti-fascism,
is fascism growing in Germany?
Oh, yes. It's a really dangerous movement right now. The AfD, it's called the Alternative for Germany, they are, in my point of view, a fascist organization, a fascist party, but they don't say this openly. It's another thing that is confusing to the people. They say this one thing and do the other. They lie to the people. They say we are a party for everybody, for the working class, for the small man. But then when you look at their demands, they only help the capitalist companies. But this is something that not everybody realizes, because what they are using is hatred against the migrants. So you can really...
And millions of immigrants have come to Germany from Turkey, from other countries, to work in the factories. Isn't there a high percentage of immigrants in Germany?
Yes, exactly. Most of the immigrants that are in Germany are workers. So their interests are the same as ours. And so it's really crazy. Some companies, they couldn't work anymore if the migrants weren't there. There are companies that have 90% workers. So what would you do? You know, but still, these fascist movements, they are using the fact that, yeah, of course there are contradictions. And not only because you're a migrant, you are progressive. Of course, there's good and bad in every nationality. That's just something normal. But I think you always have to draw the line. Is that person on my side as a working class? Is he suppressed like I am? Or is he part of the ruling class?
And wasn't it the case that the United States bombing of Iraq, bombing of Syria, bombing of Libya led to millions of workers in those countries, people escaping and coming to Germany because of U.S. imperialist intervention? Wasn't that why so many people left?
Yes, definitely the U.S. imperialism had a lot of to do with this, and of course also the German imperialism. Germany is sending a lot of weapons into so many countries in the world, and so that's why you are pointing out this really central point, I guess.
Does the AfD talk about the reason so many immigrants came as a result of these wars?
No, not the real reasons. What they say is, only because our social state, so they mean that the people get money from the government when they are jobless, for example, which is also a right that the working movement has fought for in history. They now are using this to say, look, all the migrants are coming to Germany to get this free money. And that's just not true. And you can even, if you look at the numbers, you can see that the migrants are the biggest percentage that is working from the migrants. And they are even putting more into the society than they're taking out from it. So it's just a blatant lie that they're telling.
And the government has supported Ukraine. France and Germany are talking about even sending troops to Ukraine and sending military weapons. What do workers think about it? And also the increase in the military budget, what does that mean for social services? I know that Trump has said, and the Secretary of State, that they want Germany to get rid of their social structure. They call it socialism. They're yeah. Trying to interfere in how you're organized here?
Yes, definitely. It's an attack on these social rights and on the families, to be honest. They are putting so much more money into militarization, into the warfare, and so on and so forth, into sending weapons to Ukraine. And at the same time, they don't have the money, that's what they say, to spend on education, to spend on schools, to spend on kindergarten, all these things. Best example maybe is also the public transportation. The mess is getting bigger and bigger each year, to be honest.
What's happening in public transportation?
It's just everybody in Germany, when you talk, when you ask them, they will... be really upset about this just the moment you ask them, because there used to be a time when the public transportation was really on point, where you could rely on it and so on and so forth, and now you need to add like 1 or 2 hours to your travel plan because nothing is working anymore. And the reason is that the German politics, they are always trying to push cars. They are building more Autobahn, more roads and so on. But they are totally neglecting the train system, with the railway system, which is way more needed for the public transportation into, you know, all the small cities and so on and so forth. And that's just one thing. Yeah.
And is there an issue of privatization? Because part of Trump's plan, Project 2025, is to privatize all public services, public education, public health care. Is that a concern of German workers?
Yes, it's definitely a discussion. And I guess you can also tell, with privatization, they orient more on the profit making, for example, also of like hospitals. How can you make profit from somebody's health? That should be illegal. But at the same time, in my point of view, it doesn't really matter whether something is in private hands or in state hands. Because if it's in state hands and it's a capitalist state, it still doesn't serve the people.
And so what is the solution for healthcare?
Well, to be honest, of course you have to fight the privatization. And there are certain steps for each branch. But if you look, no matter what branch you look at, you will only be able to solve it if you get rid of the capitalism, to be honest. Because in capitalism, there are certain laws that work, no matter whether I want it or not. And that's why I think if we really want healthcare or anything else in the system, in the society that serves the people, we need a state that is made out of the people. And that's what socialism is. That's the dictatorship of the proletariat, how Engels called it. It might sound like a big topic or a big phrase, but what it just means is that the working people, who is the majority of the society, that they decide. And that they,
So we're having a meeting here in Zimmerwald.
Yeah.
It's called Zimmerwald 2. What is Zimmerwald 2 and what happened here in Zimmerwald? In Switzerland.
Yeah, we're having a really amazing event today, I think. This Zimmerwald Conference 2.0. We just organized with a lot of people from all around the world. I think we had around 150 participants, if I recall that correctly. And it's a conference that was had a strategic debate about war and peace, pretty much. What is the situation in the world? How should we as politically engaged people act, pretty much? So, and the interesting thing about this conference is I think that there were so many different opinions here. And that's something that we learned from the historic Zimmerwald Conference, which was held in 1915 in Zimmerwald. That's why it's called this Zimmerwald Conference. And historically in 1915, they had social democrats, they had religious people, they had also the Bolshevik party of Lenin, and they all came here to discuss how should we do this. And what was really interesting is that they then said, okay, there are so many things we don't agree on, but what we agree on is that the working class of each of our countries cannot stand behind their own government and fight in this war on their side against their brothers on the other side.
The other issue which has shaken the world is the genocide in Gaza. Millions of people have been protesting all over the world. Yet in Germany, it seems that the government says you're anti-Semitic if you protest against the genocide in Gaza. Why don't you talk about how the laws are being used to stop protest against genocide?
Of course. First, you have to be aware of that we have a really special history. And that is something that we have to be aware of. In the Second World War, of course, the fascists under Hitler, they killed millions of Nazis.
Of Jews.
The Hitler Nazis, they killed millions of Jews. 6 million Jews, 20 million of Soviet people died in the Second World War only because of the German fascist. And now the government is using this to say, no matter what Israel is doing, we have to say, okay, we have to be in solidarity. But of course, or what I think comes from this is we should learn, we should say, never again should Germany be the starting point for fascism, for war, for genocide. And that's why I think our history gives us the responsibility to now say, no, this is a genocide, what is happening to the people in Gaza, and that's why we stand at their side. And it has nothing to do with anti-Semitism if you stand alongside the Palestinian people.
And yet the police have been attacking demonstrations. They've been arresting people. People have been targeted. Talk about the repression against those people who have stood for Palestinians and against the genocide.
Yeah, you already mentioned a lot of examples. No matter whether it's in Berlin or Cologne or all over Germany, when you make a demonstration for Gaza, for Palestine, the police Yeah, it depends on their mood. Especially in Berlin and in certain areas, you can already tell when you know there's a demonstration, the police will go in and they will criminalize you. If they find a reason to take somebody out, even though they did not do anything illegal or anything wrong.
So what have the unions done about this issue of the repression against people who are critical of the genocide?
So officially, they're not that active in this whole topic, but there are initiatives in the basis. So for example, I am in a group that's called Unionists for Gaza, but that's something that's developing from underground pretty much, and a lot of people are in support, and the unionists are in support of the Palestinian people in general, because they oppose war, they oppose genocide, and so on.
That was German IG Metall auto worker Luisa von Freitag-Loringhoff speaking with Pacifica's Steve Zeltzer. That was Nina, 99 Red Balloons. This is Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm Polina Vasilyev. The attack on unions and workers is escalating under Trump's Project 2025 agenda. On WBAI's What's Going On, hosted by Juliana Fortano, we hear from Communication Workers of America President Claude Cummings Jr. about the fight to protect T-Mobile workers from union busting and the growing fascist attacks on the media, including comedian Jimmy Kimmel.
Actions over the summer following the campaign launch calling on T-Mobile to drop their partnership with Elon Musk's Starlink, T-Mobile has doubled down as they basically bend the knee to the Trump administration, including lobbying for Trump's disastrous budget bill, ending their DEI program, and hosting Trump Mobile, literally, on their network. A glaring conflict of interest, T-Mobile also has a long history of engaging in vicious union-busting tactics to prevent workers from unionizing. Joining us now to discuss the Communication Workers of America and how they and other organizations are working to show corporate America that there actually are real consequences to aligning themselves with Trump's authoritarian and far-right extremism. CWA President Claude Cummings Jr. joins us to discuss this issue and why CWA and other organizations are calling on folks to boycott T-Mobile. Claude, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Good morning. How are you?
Well,
to be here.
I guess okay. You know what? How good can you be under the current circumstances, right?
There is absolutely a lot going on, and so many things that those that came before us fought for that are being taken away right before our eyes.
Absolutely,
including the freedom of speech. You know, just absolutely ridiculous. I heard you mention what happened to Jimmy Kimmel. That's absolutely ridiculous to me.
It is so ridiculous. And I wondered even before, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts about it as the president of CWA. Is there anything that folks can do or folks are thinking about doing in terms of organizing against this kind of sort of punishment for speech?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we need to go back and just read and think about what the First Amendment says. The First Amendment protects the freedoms of speech, press, religion, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Freedom of speech protects the right to express oneself without government censorship. And that's exactly what is happening right now. The Trump administration, the FCC, is trying to silence those who have the right to speak out on issues that are important to them. And I think those in the community, and the communities need to understand that, and we need to stand up and fight back. And I understand that there are a number of rallies that are going to be taking place to protect or to speak out against what has happened to Colbert, you know, as well as Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, first it was Colbert where they got us ready by saying, well, next year we're getting rid of him. And then with Kimmel, they're just like, and now it's today. It was a step up in their viciousness.
That's exactly right. And everyone needs to stand up and speak out. You know, I'm speaking out on that. And I know we're here to talk about T-Mobile, but I think
we'll get to that too.
Everybody to understand that those who came before us fought for our rights to speak out, our rights to assemble. And certainly what this administration is doing right now, and the fact that these corporations and the leaders of the news media are just bound down to the administration and bound down to the FCC is just absolutely ridiculous and insane to me, to be quite honest.
I think it's very much like FCC Chairman Brendan Carr said, you know, I'm going to make them an offer they can't refuse. And then ABC said, okay. And they just bowed down. And I do think, like, why would you even watch ABC anymore if Jimmy Kimmel is not on there? I can imagine that something like an organization, organized people leaving cable, leaving ABC en masse, like you are organizing for the T-Mobile campaign, would be something effective here. Because consumers still do have a voice, do we not?
We certainly do. We certainly do. And we should speak out. And we need to start a movement. You know, things get changed in this country when we have movements, right? The civil rights movement, women's rights movement, that changed a lot for women in this country, and certainly the civil rights movement under the leadership of Dr. King and other great leaders during that time made things a lot better, even though we're beginning to lose some of those right before our eyes today. You know, so when you look at the fact that we have DEI programs that are being taken away, companies are being forced by the administration to change their DEI policies and things of that nature that so many of those who came before us fought for. And so I'm of the opinion in order to change what has taken place, we have to start a movement. And make sure that movement includes us educating those in the community on the importance of going to the polls to vote.
Well, one of the reasons I understand that the CWA is asking people to boycott T-Mobile, meaning go in and cut their contracts during a certain time period coming up, and we'll get to all the details, is because T-Mobile ended its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Can you talk about why they did that?
You know, when 5 years ago, when T-Mobile wanted to merge with Sprint, it made several promises to the FCC. First of all, they said that they would create 10,000 jobs. In reality, they have cut jobs, just like we predicted they would. Mm. They said that they would help get a fourth wireless carrier. That went nowhere. And they made an agreement with a group of civil rights organizations to create a comprehensive program to improve diversity at the company. Now they have ended those programs to appease the Trump regime so the administration would fast-track approval of the two major acquisitions. So if T-Mobile truly cared about racial justice, they would agree to respect their workers' rights to join a union, because union membership and collective bargaining agreements are the best tool we have to advance economic equality and racial justice. We ask T-Mobile leaders to do that when they propose merging with Sprint, and they just absolutely refuse. So it comes as no surprise to us that T-Mobile is now looking for anything it can to get on Trump's good side and help him and his billionaire backers move forward with their cruel and deadly agenda.
I understand T-Mobile has spent years engaging in vicious and illegal union busting tactics to prevent workers from unionizing. Do you have information you could give about that?
Well, we have stopped. We've asked T-Mobile to stop their union busting, plain and simple. Let workers decide for themselves whether or not they want to join a union. In this partnership with Elon Musk, Starlink, they are funneling billions of dollars to Elon Musk, who is a far-right anti-union extremist. His involvement in the Trump administration has forced hundreds of thousands of federal workers out of their jobs and ended collective bargaining agreements for a half million federal workers. And we're also asking that they drop Trump Mobile from its network, hosting the Trump Mobile service through what is called a MVNO program, which is a huge conflict of interest to reinstate its diversity. And we need them to reinstate their diversity programs. And even last year, I had 17,000 workers in the Southeast on strike against AT&T. We won that strike, of course. But Elon Musk and Trump said workers that go on strike should be fired. That's something that...
Is that illegal?
That is absolutely, absolutely illegal. So
that is so scary. That's exactly like what he's doing. You know, he puts out there something illegal just to prepare the idea of he puts the idea out there just to prepare us for what he's about to do, which is do something extra judicious, in total violation of the law. I wouldn't be surprised if he.
Right. So you know, we're asking customers to pledge to cancel their contracts if with T-Mobile. If they do not make the changes by early November, you know, people can sign the pledge at mobileboycott.org. We're trying to get 10,000 people to sign the pledge by November 15.
10,000 people to sign the pledge and then leave their organization, or excuse me, leave T-Mobile.
Oh, right.
This is something I think people don't know, which I'm surprised about, that in July, Trump launched his own phone company, because of course he did, and it's called Trump Mobile, and despite glaring conflicts of interest, Trump Mobile is being hosted on the T-Mobile network. Your thoughts?
Well, again, as I stated a couple of minutes ago, we're asking them to not give President Trump, you know, any service. First of all, again, I think it's union busting. I think all of us need to understand right now that our country is in the midst of a crisis. The rights and freedoms that our ancestors fought and died for are being shredded right before our eyes by a reckless, unconstrained president and his white supremacist allies and advisors. The Trump regime is abducting workers from their streets, tearing apart families, depriving millions of healthcare, and firing hundreds of thousands of essential workers, including many in my own union. So we're asking that they not continue to allow Trump to be on their network. We think it's just, to be quite honest with you, just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. And I think ridiculous that a president sitting in office is using everything he can to try to make money for himself and for his family.
We're speaking with CWA President Claude Cummings Jr. I do want to thank you for being part of this fight, this resistance. I mean, other networks aren't even covering this, the resistance that's happening against Trump. There's been a really chilling effect on speech and news coverage.
No, you're exactly right. They are not. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And getting back to T-Mobile, we just want them to stop union busting, plain and simple. Let workers decide for themselves whether or not they want to join a union. In this partnership with Elon Musk, Starlink, again, they are funneling billions of dollars to Elon Musk, who is a far-right anti-union extremist. And his involvement in the Trump administration has forced, again, thousands of people, you know, off of the payroll. which is absolutely, you know,
some questionable. I have some questions about Starlink as it relates to our most recent and future elections, but I won't ask you those. It just seems a little fishy. It's a little smells like fish. It is probably fish, right?
Right. And as far as Trump network, you know, we want them to drop Trump Mobile from his network, hosting the Trump Mobile service through, again, the agreement they have with them, we feel like is a huge conflict of interest. And we certainly want them to reinstate their diversity program.
So basically, we're asking the campaign boycott T-Mobile, which other organizations are involved in, not just the CWA. There's the American Federation of Teachers. Right. Mark Pocan was on a call, some environmental organizations. They are asking people to first, you can go to the website, which is tmobileboycott.org, and right. sign a pledge to boycott T-Mobile. Or you can volunteer for the campaign. They're asking 10,000. The goal is 10,000 people to cancel their T-Mobile contracts between November 14 and 16. And then to lead or join an event near you, there are signature gathering and marches and rallies around the T-Mobile stores. And there's a link there where you can find an event near you. And then one of the things I think is important is that, you know, they have... Right on that website, they talk about frequently asked questions and how do I cancel my service contract with T-Mobile, right. and that you can, you know, usually every other carrier is going to let you keep your number. But just remember, don't go to the other carriers that T-Mobile network services, which include Trump Mobile, Metro by T-Mobile, Mint Mobile, Google Fi, Telo, U.S. Mobile, Ultra Mobile, Boost Mobile, and Red Pocket, excuse me. So if you're on any of those, it would be great if you wanted to sign up and make a switch under this campaign. It's not, you don't have to be under just specifically T-Mobile, but any of those. And then, of course, it says to make sure to be polite to the T-Mobile representative you're speaking with, because they're just a working person also, but to make sure you are saying why you are ending your contract. And it's because T-Mobile is siding with Trump and far-right extremists like Elon Musk's, and so that is why. So you have to tell them why, which is important. Yes?
But the boycott isn't recommending that people switch to a particular carrier.
No.
I will note, though, pardon me, for listeners who care about worker rights, that the only U.S. carrier that respect workers' rights and rights to organize is AT&T. Where CWA represents more than 20,000 workers through AT&T mobile services. So so we would ask those who are listening to consider joining AT&T, a company that respects a worker's rights to organize.
Well, I didn't know that, and now I do. I'm so glad you came on and told us that. This is so, it's fantastic. Just getting back just quickly, I found you were coming on today, and of course I was looking at what happened to Jimmy Kimmel, and I just found it kind of interesting that the FCC chair, Brendan Carr, who, by the way, wrote the FCC chapter for Project 2025, that playbook for Mr. Trump's campaign, most recent campaign and election, in that, he said the agency needs to focus in on reining in big tech firms because he's accusing them of censorship. He literally quoted the FCC should promote freedom of speech. Those were his first words that he wrote in that chapter. But I guess it means free speech for right-wing individuals. I don't know. he certainly hasn't done anything to curtail the outright lies coming out of the mouths of certain propagandists. But I thought it was interesting that Carr began his career as a lawyer representing corporate clients, including the wireless industry, on regulatory matters. Your thoughts on this, Mr. Cummings?
Well, I was going to tell you, Trump has done nothing but put those in office that that are, you know, against, you know, organizing. He's put a lot of corporate people in a lot of his appointments. He's destroyed the NLRB. As a matter of fact, I spoke to some senators here not too long ago about issues that labor unions are facing. And my concern is, as a union president, I have bargaining that's going to be taking place with AT&T and other groups on next year. And we don't have a functioning NLRB right now. We should all be concerned about that. Unions should be concerned about organizing drives that are taking place because we don't have the NLRB now to protect the rights of those, a functioning NLRB, I should say, that is that can protect the rights of workers to organize or to handle issues that we might be having if we have bargaining going on or if there is a strike. So corporate leaders in this country have taken over this country. Simple as that. Due to the appointments by the president. And we all should be concerned about that. Simple as that. These are individuals that care about making money, bond down to the president, but care nothing about workers and worker rights. Just a fact, under this administration, labor is under the biggest attack ever, ever. The fact that he just tore up the contract of the public sector AFGE workers is just absolutely insane. That has never happened in the history of labor.
I know,
in this country, if it were not for labor unions, and if he continues this, you know, the middle class is simply going to disappear in this country because unions built the middle class.
Mr. Cummings, a question for you. I understand that people who are part of labor unions, part of the CWA, part of other labor unions, aren't necessarily allied with one political party or another. There are a spectrum of alliances or non-alliances. Have you noticed that now that people who had voted for Trump for whatever reason, who are in a labor union, have started to notice that perhaps, I don't know, maybe they had a folly given what they are being faced with now. They're starting to see his true color and what his true intent is outside of his words. Are you starting to see people in labor kind of come to that awareness?
He said on the first day that he took office that he would drop the prices of eggs. He promised that. That has not happened. We still have high prices in the in grocery stores. So the truth of the matter is he has not delivered on anything that he promised that he would do other than implement Project 2025, which has been horrendous, you know, on workers in this country. That's what he's delivered. You know, during the campaign, he said he knew nothing about 2025. I don't know anything about that. I didn't have anything to do with it. But he is implementing everything that was in that playbook, including, you know, attacking workers that are in unions. And now he's threatening to go after organizations that are supporting groups that lean left, which is again, absolutely ridiculous.
That was CWA President Claude Cummings Jr. speaking on WBAI's What's Going On, hosted by Juliana Fortano. Yeah, we like to welcome y'all, Rebel Diaz, all power to the people. As long as you're playing for the other team, the hood ain't living the American dream. Yo, I ain't never scared, so we get prepared, cause if not, we left stuck in this nightmare. Ayo, these rappers made it rain, so my flight's delayed. So I look for sunny days, creating my own lane. See, life takes a toll, so I live the freeway. You playing for the wrong team, you should just request a trade. What if King James was like Muhammad Ali? Okay, what if Jay-Z talked about getting free? Instead of more beef, we need more green. So we plant more trees on these concrete streets. Please don't leave when you get that degree. Fat cats get the cheese, but we ain't making no breeze. See, I stay on the block like return deliveries. And I don't want your company if it includes misery. My gender ain't secret, it's not a mystery. I'm ahead of my time, so the press is missing me. I bet the story will be different in the history pages if Tupac would have never set foot in Vegas. As long as you're playing for the other team, the hood ain't living the American dream. Yo, I ain't never scared, never scared. So get prepared. Now we left stuck in this nightmare. And yo, news lie to ya, schools don't school ya, cops wanna shoot ya, but what you gon' do about it? Rich get richer, poor get thinner, how comfortable your pillow? So what you gon' do about it? I got a fresh pair of Nikes, make me feel nice, like I'm worth more according to what I buy. Ay mama, no estabas equivocada, the system that barra, sell out will get bought. That was Rebel Diaz, American Nightmare. You're listening to Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm your host, Paulina Vasilyev. The global struggle against the genocide in Gaza is now drawing support from a growing number of U.S. unions. At a September 18th press conference at Oakland Airport, Renee Phelp of UAW Local 2320, representing UAW Region 6's 120,000 members, voiced her support for the International Campaign for a People's Arms Embargo against the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide in Gaza and called for labor action.
United we are strong.
My name is Renee Coe, and I'm with United Auto Workers Local 2320.
Oh, yeah.
I stand here today as one of the 120,000 workers across the West Coast, Alaska, and Hawaii in UAW Region 6, which has endorsed the People's Arms Embargo in Oakland. I am a proud member of UAW Local 2320, a national organization of legal service workers, and my UAW Region 6 siblings work in aerospace manufacturing, auto manufacturing, biotech, higher ed, nonprofits, and many other industries. I am very excited to be here to announce that UAW Region 6 has officially endorsed the Oakland People's Arms Embargo. In order to make it clear that regular working people stand against genocide. Our members join our union because they want a dignified life. They want dignified jobs. Working people need free health care, safe schools, lower rents, and healthy communities with strong public infrastructure. We don't want our taxes to pay or our public infrastructure to be used for murdering children in imperialist wars. Working people all around the world stand with Palestine. And the UAW has long stood for progressive people's movements. From the Flint sit-down strike in the 1930s, to the 1970s Black Liberation Movement, to the struggle against apartheid South Africa, to being one of the first major unions to call for a ceasefire in 2023, we have stood against racism and imperialism in the United States and around the world. Looking ahead, we are now preparing for a 2028 general strike. And we see the Oakland People's Arms Embargo as the next step in our long history of fighting for freedom and standing in solidarity with all working people. At this historic moment, UAW Region 6 members are proud to stand with workers around the world who are taking action to stop this genocide. Greek port workers have refused to unload weapons headed to Israel. Yeah! Italian dockers have bravely announced that they will strike and shut Europe down unless humanitarian aid enters Gaza. Now, right here in Oakland, it's our turn to be on the right side of history. We can take a stand and say that we will not allow our civilian airport to be used as a hub for Israel's weapons of genocide. We call on all elected officials and the Port Authority to follow our lead and support an arms embargo against Israel. We remind them that Oakland is a union town, and we will keep fighting for Palestine until Palestine is free. When I say union, you say power. Union!
Power.
Union!
Power.
That was Renee Phelp of UAW Local 2320 and Region 6 speaking at a press conference at Oakland Airport in support of international action to stop all U.S. military shipments to Israel through Oakland's airport and port. Next, we bring you an excerpt of a conversation between Mahmoud Khalil, a former Columbia University student organizer for Palestine, who spent over 3 months in an ICE jail in Louisiana, and former Washington Post opinion writer Karen Attia. Khalil, a legal permanent resident whose first child was born while he was behind bars, is still fighting deportation against shifting government charges. An ICE judge has ordered him removed to Syria or Algeria, and his appeal is scheduled for October.
What brings me here to D.C. is the thing that they've been trying to distract us from, which is advocating for Palestine. They want us to forget that this is what we should do. This should be our priority, no matter like the risks that we are under. So I'm basically here just to be in their face, to remind them that they should, and it's their moral imperative to do the minimum, which is stopping sending weapons to Israel. And also, like, you know, like, to be, because they tried to disappear me, they tried to literally send me 1,400 miles away. So I'm here just to be in their face, that I exist, Palestinians exist. And yeah, thank you so much, Karen. Like, this week was extremely tough for you, for both of us. I was deported for the second time yesterday, but well, I'm here.
I know.
But also, like, you've been through a lot, and I know it takes courage at this particular moment to be out and really, like, speak our minds without fearing any retaliation. Just, yeah, you being here is really a testament of that. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Well, I've been fired for the first time, but I'm still deciding to get in people's faces, all y'all's faces first, at least. But thank you for that. But yeah, I think in this moment, and we'll get into it, clearly anyone paying attention to the news, in our cases, in media, they're coming after our voices. Yeah. So speaking of voice, I mean, you have spoken about the conditions that you faced in detention. Can you share, as much as you would like, a bit about that experience, and specifically sort of what maybe affected you personally and what helped you keep going, besides this wonderful letter from the busboys community?
It was absolutely awful to be detained in a place where you never thought that such thing exists on U.S. soil, like the amount of injustice and dehumanization that such facilities actually hold. It's beyond imagination. And I always feel really ashamed that I did not know that such things, like, happen here in the United States, like, in daylight and under our nose.
Can you share a little bit of, like, the details?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the moment you enter, like, such facilities, like, in my case, it's in a very rural area in Louisiana. It's literally in the middle of swamp, so you can't, like, it's just, like, the weather there is so bad. But beyond that, the you know, like, I was in one room with 70 people.
70.
Like, over, like,
70.
It's like 70. And when I say that, it's like in one room. It's not like, you know, like, I have my own cell or I share it with one person.
Living there, eating there, sleeping.
24/7. And the moment you try to cover your bunk with, like, usually with trash bags, like, because you don't want the light, you don't want to, like, the cold air to come in, they would come and take it down. So you're obliged to be always, like, under fluorescent lights 24/7, no sleep, no privacy. The food is bad, but that was, like, the least of my concerns. But I think the most difficult thing is the dehumanization that happens there, and you see it in the eyes of those around you, who sort of can't understand why they're being criminalized, especially a lot of them were literally picked up from their court hearings, from their ICE check-ins. They were doing everything right, yet they find themselves in such place, and to only see on media that they are criminals, you know, like all these labels that the administration tried to use against them. And there, I think, like, for the first 2 days, you know, like, first 2 days, you just, like, wanna, like, you think that you're gonna be out, like, very soon. So I was on the top bunk, and that one, like, I couldn't sleep, I think, for the first week until I found another bunk, like, a lower one, so, like, sort of, like, better conditions there. But also, since there's that feeling of being disappeared, I felt that I wanted to make a meaning out of this. Like, should I just wait until my fate is being decided by those who I don't know? I was able to see the news, but on the news I can only see all these horrible stuff about me that's not even close to reality. And this is when I decided to write my first letter to the world. Despite the risks of doing that on an open line, I believe it took us at least, like, on the phone, like, 9 hours to finalize the letter, because it's back and forth. You have, like, to take it through the lawyers.
I remember that letter, maybe a couple of days or so.
Yeah, it was about a week after, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You managed to still get it out to the mainstream worldwide press. I mean, what was that like?
So I want, like, despite so much advice, like, not to do that.
Not to do that
because the risk was very was
the lawyer's like, yeah. Lawyers don't lawyer.
No, the risk was, like, I mean, at that point no one knew what's happening, like, mm-hmm. around us. Like, even the charges we wouldn't see, like, what actually I'm being charged with. What is it, like, the final list of the charges, or are they adding anything and we don't know, like, can we talk? Like, is our speech actually protected? Mm-hmm. I wanted, like, to do that. And the other thing I wanted also to help those around me, especially when you have 95% of people around me were Hispanic or from Latin America, who either barely speak English or they don't, like, you know, I'm a graduate of a public policy school, so I'm, like, I do bureaucracy all the time. Like, that's why I went there. And I was helping a lot of people out with the most basic stuff, literally asking for medication, asking for a change of clothes, or asking, like, what's happening with my case. I've been here for a year and no one, like, is talking to us. So there's that. But, I mean, it was particularly difficult for me the first 3 days when I was being transported from one place to another. In the span of less than 36 hours, I was, you know, in New York, New Jersey, back to New York, Texas, then Louisiana, and I was being, like,
trafficked.
Yeah, and
the country.
They wouldn't allow me to talk to anyone, to see the news, like, nothing. I didn't know anything is happening until that one morning when I arrived in Louisiana and I was able to speak to Noor, and she told me, like, oh, Trump is talking about you, Rubio, and I was like, what the hell? Wow. So it was very difficult because the last thing I heard when I was literally being shoved into the ice, unmarked car, was them threatening Noor of arrest. So I didn't know at that point for these 2 days, have they arrested Noor? Is Noor okay? Like, is the baby okay? That what, like, literally consumed all my thoughts.
That was Mahmoud Khalil speaking with Karen Atiya on September 18th. Our thanks to On the Ground Show and executive producer Esther Iverum for this segment. And that concludes today's edition of Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. We thank all of Pacifica's sister stations and affiliates who contribute to the production of this show. Today's program was produced by the Capitalism, Race, and Democracy Collective, with contributions from Steve Zeltzer and Thomas O'Rourke. You can find this and all previous episodes at our website, capitalismraceanddemocracy.org. Make sure you click the subscribe button. Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at PacificaCRD. I've been your host, Polina Vasilyev. Thanks for listening.